Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsession
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Jackie Cation here. You're listening to The Dork Forest. You know the websites, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com, if you like a determiner. JackieCation.com has everything. Both of my podcasts, all of the stand-up stuff, the new album, links to YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all the things. But so, I think, does dorkforest.com, where you can look at old videos of different shows. Anyway, if you want to support the show, tell people about the show, review it on iTunes, thumbs it up on Pandora or Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, I appreciate that. You can donate. You can donate monthly. PayPal lets you do that. You can also do my Venmo if you like. It's at Jackie Cation. Absolutely everywhere. And my email address is jackie@jackiecation.com, and that's what the PayPal is. The PayPal link is on jackiecation.com and dorkforest.com. And go to any of them. Thanks for listening. There's merch. There's stand-up. There's tour guide. You know, you can find out where I'm touring. This is getting long, so let's get into the show.
Hi.
One.
Oh, damn it. Hi, I'm Jackie Cation. You know where you're at. You're at the Dork Forest. It's the Dork Forest. And finally, Eliza Skinner. You're like, I'm willing, finally, to tell the people of my dorkdoms. Eliza Skinner, everyone should know, is hilarious. A wonderful stand-up comic and a writer and a smarty magoo and all the things. So if you were to go, for example, on Twitter to at Eliza Skinner, E-L-I-Z-A-S-K-I-N-N-E-R, or E-S-K-I-N-Z on Instagram, or her and her dog on TikTok. I'll put it in the notes. We'll figure it out. But you have a show once a month at the Yard here in Los Angeles, last Friday of the month. So the next one will be at the end of March. And good times. Stand-up comedy. Always funny. Always smart. Always,
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to be on the next one.
Oh, there you go. So, So destination rangers.
So at least one very good comic.
Right. I cannot promise for others, but I'm sure with the booking, it'll be fine. Just a bunch, you know, it's just going to be a bunch of those guys, those bullet head dudes that we all love so much. I think not. I have what is left of a cold. So I have a little scratchy throat. Think of it as a sexy option. Rangers.
Oh.
Welcome to the program, Eliza Skinner. What? Here's the dorkdom. I was like, information cards? What does that mean?
Conversation cards.
Oh, conversation cards. I don't even know what that is either, but it certainly, information cards sounds more. Okay, what is a conversation card?
Okay, conversation cards, they're like question cards. They traditionally, like, so it'll be like a little deck of cards, and they'll have just conversation starters, just questions, icebreakers.
Oh!
And they go back to, from what I could tell from my research, they go back to like the 1700s, the 18th century. Yeah, and some of the first ones.
I would
have
guessed chicken soup of the soul.
Right?
But, right? Yeah. But you're talking 1700s.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Victorian, like there, you'd have people like, we don't know what to talk about. Whatever should we talk about? And they pull out a little card and it would be like gloves. Yay or nay?
Oh my God.
Lively conversation.
Well, you know, I read those historical romance novels and they're like, oh, you can always talk about the weather. And you're like, can you? Yeah, I guess so. Because it changes often enough in some cities. Not here, but yes.
Yeah.
Though yesterday.
Pretty insulting to talk about the weather.
It's true.
Except on the days when it's weird, because then it is like it rocks all of us.
Right.
Like there is water falling from the sky. what plague is this?
It's in the 40s, you guys. I don't know what to do with my animals. Yeah.
Yeah. Mine's in a sweater. It's
adorable.
Thank you.
So, okay. So if they started way back then, I wonder who was publishing them. Just fancy sort of court jestery kind of people.
Yeah. Well, they, a lot of like game manufacturers also, like they were considered games. So some of them would have not just the question cards, but also answer cards, which It seems a little bit useless because the answer cards were like, yes, definitely. Or like, I'll have to think more. Like, it's like magic eight ball sort of answers.
Right. All indications say yes.
Exactly.
Interesting. Yeah. That is ridiculous. So when did they become sort of more, I mean, I suppose Cards Against Humanity and Apples to Apples.
Yeah.
Are games based on those things?
Yeah. So, like, when I was a kid, I was always really into, like, game stores. And I also had no friends. So I was really, I would just, like.
How many kids in your family?
Two, but my sister's, like, 10 years older than me.
So you were, my niece had the same problem. Love board games. Was essentially a much younger only child and no one to play with. It's a heartbreaker.
Yeah. Like the kids that I was friends with in my neighborhood when I was really small, like moved away by the time I was elementary school. And I was in a part of town that, a lot of the kids that I went to elementary school with, their parents were scared of my neighborhood. So even if I had been better at making friends, like most of them were not allowed to come to my house.
Interesting. So, you know that I know a lot of guys who didn't have anyone to play D&D with when they were in middle school. And so essentially swallowed the books.
Yeah. That was me with the Marvel role-playing game. I would just like, I would make characters after character after character. And they were all, I wish I still had the sheets. I lost them on the move, but they were all like secretary by day because they were all like 22 business ladies, secretary by day, in a band by right after work. And then by night, they were superheroes.
Wow, no sleeping there. This you is know? Something that could only be really done by a woman in her 20s.
Also, this I do remember. My favorite, my villain that I made was this guy, William Wealthy. And his dastardly plan was to steal all the world's most expensive items and then sell them back at twice their value. And the best part about William Wealthy, besides the fact that he lived in Cash Mansion, is that his two his henchwomen.
Where is this cartoon? Where is this? Yeah.
His henchwomen.
Yes.
Were hookers by day, which is not a good shift, I think.
That's being a sex worker.
Yeah,
that's a Tuesday lunch.
Right?
That's
entry level, I would think. But yeah, so they were they're sex workers by day. They were boas. their hobbies were swearing and chewing gum.
How old are you? You're writing these.
Oh gosh. I was probably like 9, 10. Yeah.
Oh, this didn't last until junior high?
No, I mean, no, probably not. Like, I went real hard when I first got into the game because I played it at summer camp where, like, there were kids around.
Yeah. So you learned how to play it in a controlled, real area.
Yeah.
And then you had no one to play with. So you're like, I will be writing 1,000 characters.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah. Then I got into actually reading the comic books more, probably. The evolution in that direction.
Which is too bad, because that will stomp a creative. This was a rich vein that should never have been shown borders.
Yeah.
Because you would have taken it.
It would have been a real band, you know, eventually.
Yeah. It would have been amazing. Oh, my God.
But yeah. So I would I liked going to game stores, and honestly, the Dungeons and Dragons stuff seemed too scary for me.
It's too big. You need a native Sherpa, and it's been vilified so weirdly, like in like episodes of Bones. And
And in the 80s, it was like.
In the 80s, satanic. They were like, it was satanic. It was like the devil. But in the 90s and beyond, it's just been like, there was LARPers in, which isn't Dungeons and Dragons at all.
Oh, yeah.
But there were LARPers in Hawkeye, the new season of Hawkeye. And they were great, quite honestly. They were not vilified. They were actually celebrated.
That's good.
And they were boffer LARPers, which are Several episodes of LARPing have been done with the Dork Forest, and I've been in several myself, so I don't want to... Sure. Andy and I went as Bert and Ernie. I was Bert. So
was this a Dungeons and Dragons situation with Bert? It was not.
LARPing is, of course, different from D&D in several ways. One, live action role play. It's a costume party with game mechanics is what I think of it as. Where you dress up as a thing.
I'm from Virginia, so my point of reference for it, unfortunately, is generally battle reenactments.
Right. The war reenactment guys who I used to love so much until I met them for reals. And I was like, no. Stop eating off a tin plate. You're not playing the game right now.
You want to talk about dork? Yeah. I've worked with them a lot. My parents made films for a lot of museums in Virginia and a lot of like historical societies. And so, yeah.
So they would come and do reenactments. They would be the actors to reenact the historical moments.
Yeah, they'd be like telling stories where they're like dunking on other people about the specifics of old weaponry while they're like drinking a Diet Coke in colonial garb. And I'm like, this is very weird. This is a lot at once.
It feels like a lot. You got to really, the Society for Creative Anachronism, SCA, is actually... one of the things I guess that they are known for, and I don't have all the information as per usual, but I always have all of the opinion. But here's the thing. SCA is a big, they will like you, if you were dressed in Regency garb, you could not use a glass that was not, you had to do everything in, especially in game mode, right? Mm-hmm. When there was no game mode, then you could do whatever you wanted. But D&D, of course, is one of the tabletop games, kind of like Marvel Heroes, where you create characters from charts and from, you know, your imagination. And then you sit down and somebody runs a scenario, a game plan, the game master. And then you play your character and respond to things that come.
But do they not mash up? Is there no, like, D&D LARPing?
No, it's not. You can do sword and sorcery LARPing, but it's not.
But D&D is only the tabletop.
Right. D&D is its own game, and then Wizards of the Coast owns it, and they also own, like, Magic the Gathering, which is a card game.
Oh, I know.
Have you played that?
I tried once. My boyfriend is very into this stuff. And
okay. Sometimes stuff doesn't take. Andy loves a fiddle and diddle board game that I'm just like, no, I'm getting a stress headache.
Yeah.
For 5 hours. Yeah.
I big time do the board games with him. You know, I've got my certain things that I like and don't like within it. But, and just the general tabletop role playing stuff, do that. We tried to do magic cards one time during the lockdown. Okay. And I was like, this is not making sense.
Not for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not for him either. And then later he was like, I want to be a magic person. I want to be someone who's into magic cards. And he like got into them. And again, I for a second was like, I'm going to. And then I was like, no, I can't. I've got too many things. This is not something I want on my resume.
And the thing is if there are people out there who want Magic the Gathering, want to play that. One of the things that you were just talking about, how you like to hang out at game stores, one of the things that kept game stores open during the no day, not lockdown, but previously, like, is that they will have Magic the Gathering nights. They'll have drafting nights. They'll have tournaments. They'll have commander tournaments, all these things. I learned how to play Magic the Gathering because a comedy booker in 1993 was really into Magic the Gathering, and it was invented in 1992. So he helped me build my deck. He explained how to play it. So I got kind of into it for a couple of years, and then I got out of it, and then I met Andy, and I played it again for a couple of years, and it's weeded off. So I like the idea, but the deck building is hard for me. So
The 90s you have to was really a real care. Time. Yeah, the 90s was that early 90s was like everyone. There's been a few waves. I feel like we have a card game also now. You collect these packs. Like that was when you collected the packs to make your deck.
Andy's like, still buying booster packs. He still buys booster packs. Does he buy two? And he's like, I got one for you. And then we open them together. And then he gets all the cards.
No, he knows that I'm like, with all love and light, I will not go down this path with you.
Fair enough.
But he, but yeah, so, I collected those packets for an X-Men game back then.
Oh, okay. Like there's like Yu-Gi-Oh and there's Pokemon and there's X-Men and there's Marvel. Yeah. There's all the games.
Yes. Yeah. And I do like personally, I feel like this is all so bizarre. I love a deck building game. I do not like having to build my deck to play a game. I feel like that is, especially because when you have like people paying different amounts for stuff and like pulling stuff from packets, then it becomes this like planned, this like false scarcity thing that is Beanie Babies and NFTs. And like, why do we need
right.
that?
It can create sort of a, you know, I can afford to hire a thing for prom and you can't, which that's why a lot of the tournaments have rules, and the rules are they're drafting tournaments where everyone gets the same number of brand new packs and you build your deck from that. But I do like, there are deck building games that, games. Yeah.
That's what I like. And also basically any version of any of these things where you like create your, like if it was like you get to have your own, like you make your own magic cards.
Yeah.
I would be like, fun times USA. Ooh, what
crafty,
is this?
Crafty.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Like my version of Apples to Apples that I started out playing was that. Like everybody just writes down weird little phrases on pieces of paper and you throw them all in the middle and then you pull your hand from things you wrote, other people wrote. So like that I feel like is so much more interesting. Anyway, back to the game store.
Back to the game store, yes.
I would be in the game store, intimidated by the D&D stuff, especially since some are boxes, some are books, some are like
it's a cash
statues.
Cow. It's a cash cow.
What do I need? What do I need? I'm 9 years old. I'm shuffling around trying not to make eye contact because it feels like a grown-up store. And the deck games I was always really into. But a lot of those are just expansion packs for other things. So I'd be like, this, it's $5. I can, oh no, I need to have what else to play? So I was always just really drawn to like little card things. So I got really into trivia games first.
Okay.
And then other kind of games like that, your Scattergory type of things.
Okay. Or Trivial Pursuit or.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a Trivial Pursuit over here. And
do you ever play Pictionary? Do you remember Pictionary? Not as much. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like maybe I just don't respect myself as an artist, or it seems too finite. I think if Pictionary, instead of being like, make them say pig, draw a pig, if it was like, make them feel strange, you know, like make right. them want to leave the room, then I'd be like,
There was like a year and a half, 2 years when there was a lot of Pictionary in my life for some reason. But I think those years were 1985 to 1987. So
You got it out of the way.
Yeah, don't sweat it.
But I got into those things weirdly on my own, like when I was just like stuck by myself. Cause also you can go through those cards and be like, okay. So that was the first person to win a grand slam. Who cares? I don't know.
Right.
And then, when I started like interacting with people more, I'm like, let's play this. And I didn't realize how much I was really into question cards and question lists and trivia cards and little conversational games with cards until I grew up, and as an adult people I think had the confidence to say back to me, I don't want to do this, why do you always want to do this? And I was like, what, why would you not want to do this, why would you not want to answer a random question that has nothing to do with anything? Why would you not want to see which one of us knows more about dogs? Why would you not want to do that? And then during the lockdown, I went and stayed with Andrew, my boyfriend who likes games. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey, let's play this game. You set up these crystal towers, and then you've tried to figure out which alien species you can build to defeat the other. And I'm like, or we play these cards where you try to come up with a list of words that explains terror to you, what it means to you.
What game is that?
Right? They both sound good. I just made them both up. But
oh my God. Yeah, there's game design in your future. Anyway, and comic book writing. Go ahead.
But so we both, I just started finding and picking out the not even realize I was doing it, the different sort of card games and creative card games and expressive card games. And he was the one who was like, you're really into question cards. And I was like, what are you talking about? He was like, you like it a lot. And I mean, I know this is an audio medium.
Oh, it'll be on YouTube. People can okay. Check it out.
So he's like,
we're at around minute 1950, you guys. So if you want to go to the video,
By the way, proof that I like board games. Dune. That's the original Dune, the board game.
Nice.
We got Splendor. We got Dominion. We got Horrified. We got Azul. The big times.
We have
the
Horrified.
Big times.
Yeah, we have Horrified.
I like Horrified. Have you tried the other, the American Cryptids?
No.
Horrified.
No,
not as good. The original one's better. Okay. So, but here is like all the little, I got so many card games. What are you?
Crash.
What am
Crash.
I? Oh, it gets, there's even more. There's even more. Oh no. Every awkward date. This is the answer to every awkward date Eliza has had to have. Just like.
I'm so glad you found Andrew. Let me just say that.
Yeah, me too. But yeah, they
start conversations, these games?
They do start conversations, and I have found them especially useful. So since this pandemic, since like we've all started trying to re-enter the world in different
mm-hmm,
ways,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A lot of people, I think, I've seen a lot of people talking about the unmasking that they have done during this pandemic, different types of unmasking of, oh gosh, my dog is excited now. Hold on. I did. Now he's like, does this mean that I'm getting something? And I'll give him something so he leaves us alone.
Right. You'll give him something. What is unmasking? What do you mean by that?
Okay. So like a lot of times it's used when talking about ADHD or autism. Basically, we all were like following all of these societal rules, right? These like unspoken societal rules. And some people just get them innately and some people don't to different degrees. But you know, like how to act and like, I'm supposed to ask you how you are and you're not supposed to say really, but you're just supposed to say I'm fine. Stuff like that.
Okay.
And then when we all get stuck home alone, we, for 2 years, we forget how to do all that because we don't have to. And it all starts getting soft and people have, I think a lot of people have discovered things that they don't want to do anymore and ways that they feel more comfortable living. Like one of my two little examples are basically, it used to be you would sing in the shower.
Okay.
You would never sing at the office.
Or the yard. Yeah.
Yeah. But then when you're working from home, when you're singing in the shower, you're right next to your office. And then after a few days, you're kind of singing in the office. And then after that, you don't have pants on while you do your office Zooms. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And
everyone's wearing sweatpants now forever.
Yeah.
And they're even selling sweatpants that look like pants.
Yeah, but they're weird sweatpants, too. We're getting weird and specific. I think a lot of people are also having problems with socializing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we used to have all those discussions about like, oh, are you an extrovert or an introvert? Well, an introvert is tired after they hang out with people and an extrovert is excited. I think that was a group of people who could recognize, oh, this makes me tired.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, I would say pretty much not everybody, because there are still some people who are like, I love seeing people. I think so many people have realized how much energy socializing takes. It's like at the end of the summer when you would pick up your backpack from the year before and be like, oh my God, I used to carry this every day. This
yeah.
is so heavy.
Yeah.
How did I never notice how heavy this bag is?
Right.
That's people coming home from socializing now.
Okay.
So I have found these question cards. Huge help. Huge help. Even if you don't need them,
mm-hmm.
they're just like, you've already had this. If you have conversations a lot, you've had the same conversation over and over again.
Okay.
And if you don't, you don't know how to start it. Either way, just get it like a random card.
Just grab one.
Would you rather give your past self advice or ask your future self a question?
Oh my God. I just, I don't want to see this.
This one's too heavy.
This is where I go into philosophy mode where I'm just like future tripping or living in the past. I don't want to do either of those. How do I live in the present, my friend?
That's
cool.
How do I
live right now? Yeah.
See, that's the thing. It's not like you have to have a right answer. It just pushes you in some direction or another.
Okay. All right.
What do you consider the breakfast of champions?
Oh, yeah. A couple eggs, toast.
Yeah, bacon. That's your standard.
That's
the best case scenario.
That's a standard, and then you can expand on that. But though I do like a congee sometimes.
I was about to say, have you tried a savory oatmeal?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I have.
I love that.
A Vietnamese like grain soup or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like is quite delicious. And then you put like maybe some seaweed or some salmon skin on top.
Yum.
And you're living your best life right there.
Yeah.
What about you? What's your,
I mean, my go-to is probably like an egg sandwich, but I do love a savory oatmeal, like some cheesy oats with like a runny egg on top of that.
Oh,
come on.
There's something about putting an egg on top of any pile of food that you've really just brought it up a notch.
Egg is the new opulence.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You want to look like you're fancy at something? Soft-boiled egg right on top.
All of a sudden, right there. It's happening. Mm-hmm. We're going to...
But see, we never would have talked about eggs.
Right?
If it wasn't right? for that.
Exactly. So where did you get those cards? What is that deck?
Okay. This that last one was from Loaded Questions, which is actually a whole, like, board game. I just use the cards.
Okay.
The one before is from this... specifically just for conversations cards called a collection of questions for deeper discussions. And then I also like, I have these Trivial Pursuit cards, a lot of cards about different types of trivia or like interesting facts, you know?
Right. Those sort of fact cards, you mm-hmm. can get them by topic, right? Like it's mm-hmm. like space mm-hmm. or motorcycles or whatever mm-hmm. it is. I remember that kind of from childhood. Yeah.
Yeah. I also have Red Flags, which is by the, I think it's by the Super Fight people. Have you played Super Fight? It's like a card game kind of version of, well, it's not quite.
It's like a versus game, but
yeah.
cards?
Yeah.
Like war? Is it old timey war?
No? You're just kind of like making a case for it. So it's not the game function of it is a little, but.
What's it called?
Super Fight.
Okay.
It's one of those ones that's got like a regular deck and then you can get the specified like Super Fight History, Super Fight Space, like you said.
Right. Have you ever played Timeline?
No.
It is a card game where different cards come up with events.
Huh. And you got to put them in order?
Yes, but whoever goes first, like if the first thing you put down is the Big Bang, you know that everything comes up after that.
Mm-hmm.
But if the next card up is cotton gin and the card after that is wireless, the telegraph.
Yes.
Then it gets super close.
Yeah.
You, I think, would like that game.
Yeah.
Because it's both trivia and informative.
Yeah, there's a game... I want to figure out, is it Kerplunk or something? There's a game that I play that's just numbers that is a version of that. I can't figure out what it is. We play it on Board Game Arena. Anyway.
We do Tabletop Simulator, which is annoying. Mm. It might be called Chronology.
Okay. Instead of Timeline?
Yeah.
Mm. When Andrew and I talk about games, the more gamey things, I like the grab and go of a card game.
Oh, that it's small. You're not doing Dwellings of Eldervale here. I mean, it's not an expansion set with small world and you got a, you know, 20 mm-hmm. pounds of game. Yeah.
Yeah. For a while we were trying to have a board game podcast about the two of us being stuck inside playing board games. And one of my metrics was being able to play on the floor of an airport. Like,
okay,
you know, do you need to spread out? Can you just, it doesn't matter if you're getting jostled. You can still like not be in the hell of sitting around an airport because you've got this game.
Right. There is a card game that I brought with me on the road a couple of times that was, sadly, you had to spread out a little too much. And it was, it's called Guillotine. And mm-hmm. Have you played that? Where you gotta do a row of heads.
Yeah.
And so it kind of, it takes up a table.
Yeah. Yeah. It's again, hard. Like, I really like some creativity in it. So when it's, when you don't have to like figure, I like the games where like you got to figure something out, figure out how to do the thing, or create it yourself. When it's like, just check these boxes.
Yeah.
Go for it so much. but yeah. So
what is a game where you have to figure something out? A card game.
Oh, a card game where you have to just figure something out?
Or are you talking board games in general that you have a...
Just in general. Like, even there's this art game that, I like it if you've got to have multiple ways of getting something done.
Okay.
That just, I don't know, it feels more creative to me, and that excites my brain more.
Yeah, yeah, there's, I played Clank the other night on Tabletop Simulator, and because we had a game night with friends over Zoom during lockdown every Tuesday, and we've sort of kept it up. And some games we played where Andy has, you know, he's running the game. He's got a camera facing down on the board. And we played Hero Instant like that too, which is a tabletop game that he's writing that's in beta. And it's essentially a superhero D&D game. And I'm in two playtests of that, by the way. So I play Mrs. Kravitz, the meddler. And then I also play Dr. Quetzalcoatl, which is sort of a privileged white archaeologist lady who accidentally stumbled into a thing in Costa Rica and got the powers of Quetzalcoatl, much to the irritation of the local inhabitants. And
she wasn't supposed to be the one with the powers.
Why is Whitey Magoo flying around like a dragon?
She didn't know what to do with it. She can't even eat our food correctly.
She doesn't even speak Spanish. Why is she here? Yeah. Anyway, well, I'm an archaeologist.
I've playtested my Andrew's tabletop role-playing game, which is about a post-apocalyptic Wild West. And I generally play Slick Pete, who is a trader who, they all have mutations. His mutations have just created an even more handsome bone structure and abs. So he can manipulate people with this charm and good looks that most of these mutants don't have.
You know, this is one of the great things about tabletop games and creating characters and stuff like that is, and Andy explained to this when I first started playing D&D with him and other games like Champions and these other games. It is a way to try out different genders and sexualities and different actions and evil and good. And you get to practice your social skills in character, and you are surrounded by three or four other nerds that you can practice your other social skills with in real life.
Also get out some grudges that you might have about certain
anything.
Types of people. When I play these fellas, I'm telling you, I'm reading some people from my past is what I'm doing.
What? No, I don't know what that means. Who are you playing and who are you killing?
Oh, I'm like...
Do you usually play straight white guys?
No, I mean, I play women a lot also. But when I do play straight white guys, they are generally real Lotharios. I think I am... I'm fascinated with what I would do with that power.
Oh, right. Well, see, and that's awesome. That's it in a nutshell, right? Fascinated to what you would do with that power really feels like why we play these games, right? Mm-hmm. because I have one character, and I just named it because I thought it was funny. But then when I started playing it, that was part of the enjoyment of it. I was in Brian Posehn's Nerd Poker, which is a podcast where they play Dungeons & Dragons. And Dan Telfer is the game master, and I play – I think they're the ones behind the paywall, sorry. But I always play Gaston Mansplain.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know what this blade feels like. What does it feel like to hold the blade, though?
Well, and my other favorite thing is that someone will – I will play Gaston Mansplain, and someone will come up with an idea. I will repeat that idea.
Yeah, then, see, it's like a kind of therapy.
It's very much like a kind of therapy, for sure. It's a good way to deal with how you would to role play how you might act in certain situations.
For me, it's never how I would act. It's always how this character. One of the other things that, again, Andrew has pointed out about me, because he's, you know, not only been
right
in games
there
with me and DM'd with me, and he also, you know, has just watched me play with other people, done like Stream of Blood. As Andrew points out, I like to play characters who lie. They just lie. That's how they, I am not somebody who is like, get me in a battle. I'm someone who's like, I'm going to trick you into thinking that I'm in the battle with you. And in real life, cannot lie. Can't, like, the second I tell a lie, I'm like, oh God, I did a lie.
Right.
Remember the lie. Don't forget the lie. What was the lie? Oh, Jesus, they can see the lie on me. Like, I'm so bad at it. I hate
right.
it. But yeah, in these games, I'm like, I also play Franny Chump, the like, Cockney. I think she was a former bar maid who then joined, obviously, some sort of demon hunting society.
Why wouldn't she? Yeah.
And yeah, she's always like, right, need to use your shitter, you know, and will do anything.
Super
degrade
aggro.
Herself in any way to get what she needs. And I'm like, oh no, I would be making people so uncomfortable if I did that. I could never. And lying? Why? No, that's just not me.
Right. Rangers, we're talking with Eliza Skinner, by the way, just so you know, just in case you were to want to find the real person, the non-liar, the non the relatively sedate, but who loves a game. And so I don't know if these conversation cards is really your dorkdom. I think it's these games.
Oh, I mean, well, I like games, but I don't. That feels less mine than the cards are. Like the cards.
Yeah, the cards feel super specific to you.
Yeah, like I.
Are you walking around with them? Are you taking
sometimes.
Them to parties?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, for sure. I used to, with my last, I got a new car, so it's nice. The old one, though, I was constantly pulling little trivia cards out of different places because I had taken like a handful of them with me someplace. And I also think there's something to the randomization of them. I think that feels generally kind of like mystical to people. That we're like, oh, the card wants, this is the card I'm supposed to have. This is the question that's right for right now. Because I also have a lot of like oracle cards and stuff. And people are always like, I have a
What's
few sets.
What's an oracle card? Besides, I know what an oracle is. They predict the future.
Yeah, so they're like tarot cards, but it's not a tarot deck. It's just something else. They usually have a theme, and they've got, just different.
Are they images
elements.
Or are they words?
They're both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you supposed to Rorschach it or, hey, wag, wag. Hello, little waggy.
Oh, yeah, kind of. I mean, I definitely Rorschach it more. Some people are like, oh, here's what the card means. Just like with a tarot card. They're like, this is what this card means. It could mean that to you. It could mean that to you. That to you. I prefer like a what do you feel like about this? What does this make you? And again, it's another way to like spin a conversation in a certain direction. And I think kind of like with the games I like and the creativity, I feel like there's something interesting about the triangulation of here's me. Here's you. Here's this other random thing. what does this equation become that won't be anywhere else and anything else? And how do we get from each other to this other thing?
That is cool. And initially, I betcha, God, I could have used those just because it's a nice clock eater with the fact that you can at least go, all right, pick a card. Because it's weird in a situation, but is it any weirder than the way that I have conversations currently? Where are you from? What do you do for a living? If I've asked you what you're reading, we're one question away from me telling
from
you what material I'm working on, or me walking out. Yes.
Maybe run out. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And also, you know, I am, as I mentioned neurodiversity before, I'm diagnosed with ADHD. And TikTok.
Who takes the time? Who takes the time to get that diagnosis?
Did you just do it
in the last 2 years or?
4 years ago.
4 years ago today.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, it explains a lot about some of the social difficulties.
What does it stand for? ADHD?
Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. I don't have a whole lot of hyperactivity, but
I don't know. You've walked around your apartment 3 times since we started this podcast.
I guess that's true. But I'm purely trying to occupy my dog so that he leaves me alone and doesn't fuss, because my dog now does this thing where dinner time has become, he used to be really sickly, whatever, dinner time has become 2 to 9 o'clock.
Okay.
So it's just like a 7-hour buffet.
Right, right.
And he just fell over.
What he likes to do is a cruise ship.
Exactly.
Yeah. He likes to be able to go at any time to the Lido deck, get himself a cocktail, and maybe some nosh.
Yeah, basically he's sitting there like, Mama, this is all inclusive, and I'm using it up, you know, I'm getting my money's worth. That is the dog voice. I am, in women a lot of times, especially, ADHD presents as, like,
attention deficit.
Hyperactivity disorder.
Okay.
A lot of distraction, procrastination, a lot of piles of mail, things like that.
Okay.
Losing my keys from my front gate to my front door.
Right. So it can manifest in many different ways, but it's an attention. And
yeah, you can get distracted.
I just always thought that I was, I always called it just being twitchy, that I don't have any social skills and I don't know how to talk to you. I used to drink a lot. Mm-hmm. And so when I drank a lot, I'd be like, it won't matter in about 3 minutes if I have conversation or not, because I'm about to do 4 shots in a row and then nurse a beer. And whatever, I mean, I remember the first Hollywood party I went to, and it was like a work party in Hollywood, and it was 1997.
Like
so it was,
party?
It was kind of a networking party, and I could not have been worse at it. I literally, I said, so what do you do? And this woman was like, well, I'm an agent. And I was like, okay, I'm a comic. And then I was like, where are you from? And then I tried books. And then by the fourth question, all the shots had gone straight to my head. And so I said to her, you have a choice at this point. You have to take over the conversation or I start telling you material. And she's like, material, let's hear it.
I have two similar, like, first time I came to Hollywood, I did a sketch show with my friends and they were like, you have to talk to industry afterwards. We know you don't want to, you have to, we're dragging you. And they did. One of them came and dragged me from backstage, was like, no putting away props. You come outside, you talk to industry. And I was like, hey, so who likes cats? Who likes dogs? What's your favorite kind of candy? Because I'll tell you what I don't like. Nougat, you know, and I'm like, this is great. I don't want to have to just throw shit at them and like sell myself. I'm going to treat them like people and they'll see I'm a nice person. And that's the kind of people you want to work with. Then I looked around and saw everybody else was like, here's what I've written. Here's what I want to write. Here's what I can do, what I have done. And the people were like, great. We know how to work with that. And the people I was talking to were like, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
And I was like, oh, this is part of my job and I'm not doing it in a really weird way.
I'm not good at it. Yes. But it can be learned.
Yes. And I thought it was distasteful and gross instead of like, that would be like thinking that it's distasteful and gross to ask for money after you finished ringing someone up.
Like, right. Right.
That's part of the job.
You have to get there. You have to talk about those things.
Yeah.
And it is very weird. So when you would bring these cards out in the world with you, did you curate them? Or did you just grant random stack?
No, random stack. Sometimes when I flip through them, if I get to one that I'm like, this feels like an uncomfortable question for right now for this person, I'll skip that.
Yeah.
But yeah, because like also I feel like people want to talk to each other, but they don't always know how to start or want to talk about. The other thing
something
is
real. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you can go really deep with these or you can just skate around on them. Like,
right.
It's
but
fine.
They're real topics at least.
They're real topics, but they're, you could keep it small talk or you could use it to go deep. And so when you're like, if I'm just having a raw conversation with somebody, I don't like, I can't really do that. I'll be like, hey, how are ya? Didn't get caught in the rain, did ya? Good. Who in your family do you like to talk to? Like, it doesn't, I don't know the questions that do that both.
Yeah.
Like, it's only like surface or like deep. Yeah. So these, I think, are a good way to do that. And I think it's good for other people. Like I would tour a lot also doing short form improv and you talk to the same people over and over. And so you're like, what else do we have to say to each other?
Right.
It's good for that. But you said something, the drinking. So with neurodivergent stuff and masking, like a lot of what our masking is, being told that we're doing things wrong socially. Like you're talking too much, you're interrupting. For me, for ADHD, it would be talking too much, interrupting, making it about yourself. Because very often, that's our way of connecting. Like, oh, that happened to you? Something like that happened to me. Here it is. And to a lot of neurotypical people, that's really rude. And so we end up with a lot of lists. And neurodivergent is ADHD, autism, ASD, and... Ooh, there's some other ones, BPD.
Okay.
There's some other ones that fall in there. So we've got like this list of don't do this, don't say that, don't act that way in our heads all the time while we're trying to socialize.
Mm-hmm.
So things like drinking really helpful because it lowers your inhibitions, quiets that list.
Yeah.
You're not doing it. It's like helping you unmask and just be like, ugh, okay, here's who I am really. And not a healthy way, but it's
no,
like.
And it. You know, it not only takes away the inhibitions to talk, and it takes away it just lowers your judgment across the board in your actions and the rest of it too. So, and it could change your personality too. So it's really, as you just said, it's not an ideal way to deal with it.
No, but it's a type of self-medication that like, rather than getting a, you know, a healthy
actual medication,
medication, it's like, this helps. So, yeah, I think that's, again, if I'm just having a raw conversation with somebody, I'm thinking, like, be careful you don't accidentally say something that hurts their feelings or is too blunt or is something they find inappropriate to talk about or whatever. The cards,
they're
fine. The cards are written fine. But then also, if it does break one of those rules, I can be like, whoa, weird card. Where did the card ask you that? I never would. Never. Couldn't. No, I know. I get it.
I get it. I know that we're just supposed to stand at this bar for a second. And then we're all going into this room.
Yes.
And so that is hilarious. And so what?
Also helps with family.
Oh, really? Have you done it in family situations? Do you bring... Because Andy's a big fan of bringing out a game in any kind of family situation. He's just like, anyone want to play a game?
Yeah.
Sure.
The thing is, a game just takes a little bit more investment. You could do like one card, two cards. No big whoop. But you have to be like, yes, we're going to... So we... My family, for a while, I did do the game management with family outings, which was a lot of celebrity... mm-hmm. and a lot of apples to apples. Again, okay. my style, where we make our own cards.
Okay.
But yeah, during the lockdown, we would have family Zooms.
Yep.
And that would be my mom, my dad, my sister, and me. And yeah, it's our family conversations.
Where does everyone live?
My sister's in New York. My parents okay. are in Virginia. I'm in California.
And
in Denver for a lot of that, though.
Right. Have you ever... This is the weirdest thing about lockdown for me, is that people would do these weekly Zooms or weekly phone calls or it never happened before that. It wasn't like I was talking to my family, you know, like my brother was like, you have to make sure dad gets groceries every week. And I was like, okay. He's like, so call dad every couple of days, see what he needs. And I'm like, okay. And my sister sent him a tablet that I was like, he's 80. He's never going to figure out how to use that. So I figured out how to rip and burn a DVD, how to use a Samsung, because he has a DVD player. Mm-hmm. And he has this Samsung tablet that's hooked up to my sister's cellular Wi-Fi. So because he has a flip phone. And so he can get on the internet and do whatever he wants on this tablet. But how does he use the tablet? So my sister sent him the tablet all set up. If he were to know how to use it. And I set up a DVD with how to use it if he would put the DVD in and watch that. So I called him a couple of days later and I said, Dad, did you get the DVD yet? And he goes, no, I got the tablet though. And I said, okay, well, the DVD will tell you how to use the tablet. He said, well, I Googled a couple of things and I watched a thing on Netflix. What else am I supposed to know how to do? And I was like, throw away the DVD. You have figured out how to use the tablet.
Good for him.
Right. So, but you had never talked to your, like, were you doing
I've
it
never
weekly
spoken
with
to
your
them
family?
Ever in my life. No.
Right.
No, yeah.
no previously. You had never met them.
No. And, yeah. We didn't do the group things. And, you know, I had found in my family, like, numbers matter. Like, a two-person hang, that's great. Three-person, four-person, you know, it's getting
gets a little
iffy. Yeah. So it was never something that I pursued, but yeah, I feel like during the lockdown, I think that we were all worried, I think, especially about our parents.
Yeah.
Not having other sources, not only not having us to interact with, but also just the other people in their life that they normally, the people at the grocery store, the people who
and
walk their dogs
wanna,
past their
you
house.
You want to keep them in. You want to keep them inside.
Yes. You want to keep them in. And my dad has dementia. But, you know, he's still living at home with my mom and he's still like pretty lucid, but it is progressing.
It's growing. Yeah.
yeah.
And it's horrible. But
yeah.
So during, the four of you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So during all this, yeah, we would do question cards. I had gotten a little deck to take with me when I went to Colorado for Andrew and his kid that was like family questions. And I would just use those. And it was great because you can't do the like, are you mad at me for giving away your cat when you were 10 stuff? If you're saying like, what's the scene from a movie you always remember,
yes.
but you are still learning about your parents and
yes.
they're learning about you kind of in this adult, not
what's
so
the,
much.
What's that card game? Cause that one does sound great where you can do it with kids. It's chicken soup for the soul junior.
Yeah.
To some extent. Right.
Yeah. I just,
because
it was a deck I found called like Family Time.
Okay.
And yeah. I mean, there's so many of them. They're all,
right,
I'm making my own.
Are you making one?
Yeah, I'm making
one. And you want to do a podcast, right?
Uh-huh.
You were saying?
Yeah, that's why I started making it. Because I was like, well, I can't do a podcast and just ask other people's cards.
Right.
So I have to have my own base deck and maybe pull out some other ones from other things.
Right. If you do a base deck, will your base deck... What are your favorite versions of them? Are they the ones that get super deep or can go either way? Or are they the ones that are super light, nobody's threatened, and could go deep if it went there? Because the second one sounds better to me.
Yeah, it's a little bit more the second one. My favorite ones are ones that let me try to figure out how you see the world. I find the way other people see the world and feel about things fascinating. I think that a lot of times now, especially online... There's
yeah.
this weird push where if people don't agree with us, it's seen as an attack. Like if I say, I had people literally tell me to kill myself after I wrote an article about not liking pizza. I wrote like a funny essay about how like I'm not into pizza and I think it's weird people are so into pizza. People not only responded on that, they sought me out on all of my social media. One girl started commenting on all of my old Instagram posts, including things like, I hope you never reproduce. I hope your bloodline stops with you, you pizza hater. And then she saw Adam Conover had commented on one of them, and she commented on him and was like, oh my God, Adam Conover, I love you. I'm such a fan. And I commented on her. I was like, you can't do this. This has gotten too crazy. You can't tell me to kill myself and try to make friends with my friends. Right, what are you doing?
Over pizza.
Over pizza. And it's right. Just, and if I mean, don't like it's pizza.
It's not the Holocaust. If it's I don't, pizza.
Yeah. And it's a preference. It's an opinion. Like if I don't like pizza, all that means is there's one more slice on the table for you if we get pizza together. Like it should not be a problem.
Abundance. There is indeed abundance.
Yeah. So when people think something different from me, like in a different opinion, I am not like gross. Generally, I mean, maybe who knows? Maybe well, I'll find well, a situation
when,
where I am.
When it gets to that point of sort of human rights and
not really.
Yeah, but if if it's just like somebody who was it who posted that thing about not who she was like Ted Lasso's fine. I've never seen it.
Oh yeah.
That was Megan Keister, right? And people lost their tiny lizard minds about it. And you're just like, no, you still get to love.
Yeah, I posted a list of, I posted a thread of rom-com tropes that I'm like, I'm ready to see these retired. I wasn't like, these have hurt people. This is bad. They never should have existed. I was just like, these are played out. And I got roasted. I got dragged. It was more like people were trying to make me the quote unquote main character, referring to me as I'm like, why do you care what I don't like in rom-coms? Also, you're all kids. Anyway, my actual point was when someone has a thought different from mine, obviously not talking about any kind of prejudice or bigotry or anything.
Right. Yes.
I am generally fascinated. Like, how did you come to that conclusion? That is so interesting to me. What is it that you like or don't like about this?
What do you think about terry cloth?
Me? What do I think about terry cloth? You know what? I like it. I think it's warm and I tried to get rid of it for a while. I started going with those towels, the like, what are, I feel like the Turkish towels, are they? No, because that's the ones that are not terry cloth.
Yeah, the ones that aren't terry cloth. Yeah, that are just cotton.
Yeah, and there were articles that were like, they're better. They're so much better. They dry you. Superior. And I was like, I want superior dryness.
Who doesn't?
So I tried it, and I found that they're good for summer because they're light. But I like a snuggly terry cloth. Terry cloth used for anything besides towels, I'm like, this feels crafty in a way I don't like.
I think I had a terry cloth bathrobe that I didn't like one time, and I didn't like it because it got staticky.
Oh, interesting.
So sometimes I don't enjoy static.
I prefer a terry cloth bathrobe to that like microfiber kind of fuzz because that just keeps you wet. You're just feeling the wet against you.
Right.
Also, an important note with terry cloth, can't use fabric softener. I like, if I can impart one bit of wisdom to the world, do not use fabric softener with terry cloth, because terry cloth is little loops and fabric softener is pretty much lotion for your clothes. So, and those little loops are what dry you. And, the fabric softener fills in the loop.
Okay.
So it doesn't have all that surface area anymore to soak up
the wet.
Yeah. It's like greased up and, it's going to end up like those bathrobes where you can just feel yourself being wet inside.
Yeah. So you will ruin your terry cloth with fabric softener.
Yes.
See, we just learned something about each other right there with that weird, because I was going to ask you what some of your favorite questions are. We're getting close to an hour, by the way. Just so you know, hilariously, I asked you for two dorkdoms just because I was like, conversation cards? Little did I know that the term conversation cards would last an hour. Because we would be having conversations.
I mean, I feel like there's a tip off in the term.
There really is. There really is.
What are some of my favorite ones? So things like, here, let me find my little list. I like things like, I'm not liking the list. Like, what is the key to making to making an impressive, to looking impressive. What's the key, Jackie Cation, to looking impressive?
In any given situation? Yeah. To looking impressive.
Yeah, if you're like, I gotta look impressive, what does that mean? What do you have to do?
Yeah, I think the things that come to mind are wear red and make sure everything fits, mm-hmm. isn't too tight, but isn't too loose, and everything is make sure everything's clean. Because mm-hmm. I am I'm not always super tidy, so
yeah,
I am.
Me too.
I who was it? Jennifer McLean used to do this bit about. She was like, if you're skinny, you can drop food on yourself. And people are like, oh, did someone fat throw that at you? But if you're heavy at all, people are like, oh, just couldn't eat it fast enough. Just had to roll around in it, huh? And
yeah, so, it definitely makes it worse. I've been skinny. And
right. No, I'm not saying any of that's true.
I don't feel like I've worn the spills that I have worn particularly well. But yes, definitely. Yeah. You know, the fitting well is so important and it's so fucking loaded. Like we should all be able to wear clothes that fit well. And we have no judgment about what they are, about what size it says they are, about like where we got it. I mean, you know, fast fashion, that's bad, but yeah. Still like tailoring is so important. Everybody has a, not everybody, I gotta stop saying that. There are dry cleaners all over the place.
Yeah.
Most of them have little tailors in there.
Right. Hem someone with a sewing machine.
In, let yeah. something out. Like it makes such a difference. And not only does it do what you were saying, like make you look impressive should you need to, but it makes you feel confident. So like right. you don't even have to think about what it is you look like. You can think about what you're there to do.
Right. It's that whole thing where if you look at yourself before you leave the house, and I almost never do just because I can't face it, I will feel more confident going out of the house if I have not looked at myself.
Wow.
Right. And then I'll get there and I'll glance in the mirror. And I'm like, oh yeah, you didn't wear any makeup. You have no lipstick on. You're going to go do stand up. All I know is there's a hard, fast rule of my generation of stand up comic. No shorts. Yes. Don't wear shorts on stage. But you could wear, I could wear a skirt, but another hard, fast rule is try not to look too girly.
Try not to look. I mean, my stand up thing with how I look on stage, I put so much thought into it. Like I realized for a while when I moved to Hollywood, not just LA, Hollywood. I was like, look good. Wear your dresses on the stage, even if they feel weird on your body. Like, try to be castable and hostable.
Yeah.
And I found that I felt audiences hated me. The women, I felt like were way more arms crossed, less like mm-hmm. she's my friend. The men would literally try to holler at me during my set.
Yes.
It's a specific type of heckle where it's just like, they think
nice
they can
rack.
Talk to me.
Nice rack.
Well, it's not even that. It's like they think they can talk to me the way they would at a bar.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not going to answer back now. And also, so if they came up to me at a bar and they were like, what's that shirt about? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I answered with like, I'm talking right now, not you. Let's do everybody else in here a favor and you stop talking. They would be like, what a bitch. And they'd kind of be right. But that's my job when I'm on stage.
Yeah.
So some drunk guy hollers something like that at me and I give that back to him and they're like, fuck you, bitch. And it escalates real fast. So
almost instantaneously. Yeah.
Yeah. So I started dressing. I started like, I've always liked overalls, but I started wearing like big overalls, sweaters over sweaters, scarves over scarves. And I would get on stage and people like instantly would be like, we love you. You're our best friend. Welcome. We are welcoming any idea from you. We feel trust. And I was like, great. Well, okay. I'm going to lean on this crutch for a while.
All those layers reminded me that I had a music teacher in third grade who used to dress. And I remember thinking she used to wear like layers of gauze. It was all very filmy. And I remember saying, She looks like a dragonfly. And she looked like a dragonfly. She was always kind of like, whoosh.
Did you like it?
And I did. I liked her. I liked music class. We sang Cats of the Cradle.
Do you ever wear things like that?
Puff the Magic Dragon. I have purchased items like that in an effort. Andy and I both, he got a caftan in a white elephant exchange. Mm-hmm. We both put them on, took pictures. Who wore it better? Put it on the Instagram. People, they were like, kind of him. You both look good.
I love a caftan.
Yeah, it's super comfortable. It was comfy cozy. I tried to wear it the other day, like right in January, and Andy was like, caftan's a summer outfit. And so he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
It's true. It's true. There are like adjustments you could make for a winter one. You can wear something underneath it. You know, you can layer it up.
Eliza Skinner, I have to tell you that it has been an hour.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But this has been kind of fascinating, and I, not even kind of, this has been fascinating.
Good.
And I have loved, I think it's the dorkdom of conversation and the cards that can help.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So people, if you want to find Eliza Skinner, and you should go to the Yard at the fourth Friday of every month in Los Angeles and watch her do stand-up. But you could also follow her on Twitter at Eliza Skinner, ElizaSkinner. And Instagram is ESKINZZ.
E-Skins.
You got it? E-Skins. Mm-hmm. And so thank you so much. And I look forward to hearing more stories about William Wealthy?
Yeah. Yeah, he had an ascot and a beret. Of course he did.
Oh my God, this was so fun. Thank you so much for doing the show.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. Let me stop recording.
No, don't do it.
Oh, no, never mind. I'm still recording. Don't worry.
Still recording. Because I like to say this at the end of every show. Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?